Today on Day One, you'll hear a rebroadcast of the Easter program from 2021 with host Peter Wallace and the Reverend Merrick P. Zabrinsky.
The resurrection is an outrageous assault on our shrunken worldviews. It's a full frontal attack on our Good Friday outlook, and God dreams for us to have an Easter reality. If God raised Jesus from the dead, if the tomb was empty, if the angel said that he is not here, and if the disciples saw him alive once again, then surely God can roll away whatever seems immovable in your life.
That's the Reverend Merrick Zabrinsky, and today he offers a life-giving sermon for Easter called God Says Nevertheless. I'm Peter Wallace, and this is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's historic Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thank you, Sherry. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. And on this Easter Sunday, we're honored to welcome back to Day One the Reverend Merrick P. Zabrinsky, rector of Christ Church Episcopal in Greenwich, Connecticut. Before coming to Christ Church in 2018, he served for 23 years as rector of St. Thomas Episcopal Church White Marsh in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. Earlier, he served churches in Richmond, Virginia and Nashville, Tennessee. Merrick studied philosophy at Emory University and trained for the priesthood at Yale Divinity School and Berkeley Divinity School at Yale. He has published and edited numerous books, including The Bible Challenge. Merrick, thanks for being with us again, and happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Peter. It's great to be with you.
Last week, you introduced us to Christ Church Greenwich, where you've served about 2.5 years. I understand the church is doing some long-range planning. What's that looking like?
Well, we're creating something called 2025, a chance to look out over the next few years and set our goals at a high level where we might move forward in each of our ministries. I think if you articulate a plan, if you allow a lot of people to put their hands on it and shape it, and then you clearly share that with others and allow everyone to in the congregation to participate a little bit in forming it, really good results take place, because every single person in our parish and in each church has part of that vision that God has. It's kind of like putting a jigsaw puzzle together, and we need each person to share their part in order to get the whole picture. That's what we're working on together.
You have a journalism background, and I suppose that has led you to a wonderfully robust writing ministry for you. One of the first projects you undertook was the Bible Challenge. What's that about?
Well, that kind of came out of my own spiritual poverty. I was on Christmas Day 2010. I was seated by the fire. My Welsh Pembroke Corgi Winston was seated next to me. And I was just reading through a stack of journals and things that had come in during the fall that I hadn't had a chance to read through. And I came across in a friend's newsletter that he was inviting the congregation to read the whole Bible with him in a year. That idea had never dawned on me, to invite the entire congregation to do that. Our newsletter had already gone out for January. So what I decided to do was I'd just tackle this on my own. I would go back and read the entire Bible that year as a way to get deep into scriptures. And I had read through the daily lectionary for years, for like 15 or more years. But this would be a way of reading everything and omitting nothing. So I started to do that each day, reading some of Genesis, and then I started to throw in a psalm every day. And then I'm misreading the New Testament, so I added a chapter of the New Testament. And after just a week, I felt so spiritually renewed reading the scriptures in the morning and again in the evening that I felt God nudge me and invite others into it. So I started sending invitations to some folks in the church, and the response was incredibly powerful. I thought maybe 5 or 6 people in our congregation of 1,400 people might be interested in reading the whole Bible in a year. We ended up with over 185 men and women in our church, and about 100 folks from outside the church joined us as well. It became kind of a movement. And then I sensed God nudging me that this was more than meant for just my church in particular. It was meant to be shared with others. So I shared it with some other clergy who said, could our church do that as well? And I explained to them how we went about it, and mm-hmm. they started it as well. And then I had a bishop who said, well, I'll lead my entire diocese in this. And then another bishop, and we had over 60 bishops before I knew it. And it began a movement. And so since that time, we've had over 1 million people participate in the Bible Challenge.
Wow.
And all of our materials and information can be found at www.thecenterforbiblicalstudies.org. It's all free. It's just a way of sharing the Word of God so that people can feel spiritually nurtured and help to transform each day of the rest of their lives so that they can serve God more faithfully and know God more fully.
Mm-hmm. You've also written and edited a number of other books, many of them in the Bible Challenge family, including Journeys in Each of the Four Gospels and the Way of Love Bible Challenge, which I've enjoyed using this year. What's the purpose of those study books?
Well, there are two crucial ways to do the Bible Challenge. One is to read the entire Bible in a year, or to read the New Testament, Proverbs, and Psalms in a year.
Mm-hmm.
But these smaller Bible challenges allow you to take on reading one gospel over a 40-day period,
mm-hmm.
or such as the Book of Acts, the Way of Love Bible Challenge, or the Social Justice Bible Challenge,
mm-hmm.
which takes a lot of crucial texts in the Bible that talk about poverty and social justice, and then is full of wonderful meditations written by 40 different leaders across the church, both clergy and lay people, along with a couple of questions and a prayer to conclude each day's reading. The number one way to grow spiritually as a Christian is to engage with Scripture a little bit every day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're all about. If we can help people get back to that, our churches will grow. We'll create contagious, articulate, committed Christians. And that's what you can build a great church with. And that's what transforms the world. And that's what allows a Christian to feel like they are doing God's work.
Mm. Again, if you want more information about the Bible Challenge program, the website is thecenterforbiblicalstudies.org. Eric, today the church celebrates the resurrection of the Lord, and your sermon draws from various gospel accounts, including the one found in Mark chapter 16. Would you read that for us?
I'll be glad to. A reading from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Merrick, we look forward to hearing your sermon on this, titled God Says Nevertheless. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you, Peter. It's a privilege to be with you on day one. Well, this is the big day. A day for trumpets and timpani, beautiful dresses and colorful hats, and yes, flowers galore. This is the day when even those who love to play golf or read the newspaper on Sunday morning make their way to church. For clergy, it's like the Super Bowl. A full church, a great big choir, and a sea of smiling faces. Unless, of course, there's a pandemic. Nevertheless, we soldier on because this is the day where we lift up Christianity's biggest claim, its deepest truth, its most profound mystery. And it's more important than ever to share this message of hope after such a challenging year. The Easter truth that God broke through the glass ceiling of death to offer the gift of eternal life. Heaven is a reality for those who yoke their lives to Jesus. Not universal salvation, the belief that everyone goes to heaven just for being born, but the belief that those who have accepted Jesus and practice his way of love, respecting the dignity of every human being, will pass through death into a realm of unending love and joy that we call heaven. Years ago, a young man exiting church on this very day turned and said to me, "You've got to love everything about Easter, even if it's just a fairy tale." I suspect that some folks will always doubt the Easter truth. For some of them, it will always be fake news or misinformation. They may think of Jesus as a great philosopher, a master teacher, or the founder of a new religion, but resurrection to eternal life? Well, that's just wishful thinking. They find it easier to accept a Good Friday world, where marriages break up, addictions are rampant, and folks, even good folks, die of horrible diseases, than to accept the reality of Easter. I can sympathize with them. There is, after all, so much bad news, stories about violent crime, political divisions, barbarians masquerading as patriots storming our capital, and millions of people dead from COVID. So we wonder, where is the God of Easter when tsunamis, tornadoes, or acts of terrorism occur? Sometimes it seems like we inhabit a Good Friday world. But the Bible speaks of something different. It notes that what happened on that first Easter was utterly shocking. Disorientation, darkness, confusion, fear, and uncertainty arose. Mark tells us that Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome came to the tomb to see and anoint the body of Jesus, whom they loved. As they approached the tomb, they looked up and saw that stone, a huge round stone which must have weighed 1,000 pounds, set like a coin on its side, had been rolled away. On the way to the tomb, they must have been asking themselves, "How will we roll away the stone?" Only Mark mentions this worry. Yet this is 2021, and we still share the women's worry. I suspect that each of you is worried about some immovable stone in your life, a stone that blocks your way and keeps you from living the kind of life you feel called to live. The stone blocks you from reaching your goal. For some of us, it's a weakness. We don't take care of our body the way that we should. We fail to exercise or eat the wrong things, and we know we shouldn't, but we're weak and we give in. For some, the stone is a moral matter. We're doing something wrong, and we know that we shouldn't be doing it. Our conscience stings. We feel it, think about it, worry about it, but we still haven't stopped doing it. For others, the stone is something that has already occurred in our life. An irreversible, physical, and permanent stone has been rolled across our path. We have had a heart attack or have received a bad diagnosis, and our stamina and energy, our memory and our thinking are not what they used to be. It's reminded us of our mortality and shapes how we see everything. That stone blocks our way, and it prevents us from leading the kind of life that we want to live. Well, you may not have a stone like that, and I hope that you don't, but every one of us has something that we can't seem to get rid of or roll away in our life. Why, it's like a tombstone. It blocks us from the kind of life that we dream of living. If you pay attention to the stones in your life, and every one of us has at least one, then you can sympathize with the woman who went to visit Jesus' tomb, feeling weak and helpless, and wondering, who will roll away that stone? Mark says that when they looked up, they saw that stone had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man, dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here." You see, the tomb was empty. Jesus had been raised up. There in the half light of that early morning, something incredible and completely unexpected had taken place. And that, my friends, is the power of Easter. The Swiss theologian Karl Barth said that the good news of God has one word written on every page. The word, nevertheless. In a world where evil and suffering occur, God says, nevertheless. Because God can bring forth something good from everything evil or bad. Pharaoh and the Egyptians had oppressed and horrifically mistreated the Hebrew slaves. Nevertheless, God raised up Moses who helped to set the Hebrews free. Mary was still a virgin, but God said, nevertheless, you shall bear my son and his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. A crippled man sat for 20 years beside a pool of Siloam, famous for its healing waters, but he remained crippled. Nevertheless, Jesus said, get up and walk, and he took his first steps and was healed. A crowd of 5,000 gathered to hear Jesus preach. They were terribly hungry, and Jesus had only 5 loaves and 2 fish. Nevertheless, he multiplied them and everyone was fed. A woman who suffered from a flow of blood for 3 decades, nevertheless, touched the hem of Jesus' garment and was instantly healed. Lazarus lay in a tomb for 3 days. His corpse was rotting. Nevertheless, Jesus cried, Lazarus, come out. The dead man rose, walked out of the tomb, and lived. Peter denied Jesus 3 times before his crucifixion. Nevertheless, Jesus forgave him and invited him to lead the church. Saul persecuted and killed Christians. Nevertheless, God transformed him into a great leader, renamed him Paul, and made him a fabulous theologian. It's happened all through history. Our grandparents thought that polio and the measles would last forever. Nevertheless, vaccines were developed, and these diseases are virtually history. The Berlin Wall and the Soviet Union seemed solid as stone. Nevertheless, they crumbled and fell. A teacher wrote that a certain student wasn't smart. He never applied himself and had no future. Nevertheless, Winston Churchill grew up and went on to change the course of history. Perhaps you've had some nevertheless moments in your own life. You've had a stone blocking you from having the kind of life that you longed to lead. Then it was removed. You thought that your only choice was to get a divorce or to live in a lifeless marriage forever. But then your marriage turned around and began to flourish. Your 12-year-old son was diagnosed with a tumor, and you thought that he would die. But the stone was moved, and now your son is 42 and practicing law. You were infertile for over a decade, and there was a stone blocking you from the joy of being a parent. Then the stone was rolled away. You got pregnant and had twins. You see, God writes nevertheless across the dead-end chapters of our lives. Climate change now threatens life on our planet. Nevertheless, God's followers are working to turn things around. Gun violence proliferates across our country. Nevertheless, God's ambassadors are working to ensure that our streets will become safer. George Floyd was killed in broad daylight. Nevertheless, God's servants are striving to bring about justice and equality. The gap between the rich and the poor has never been greater. Nevertheless, God's followers are working to bridge the gap. As Christians, we are called to help roll away the stones and bring about God's great nevertheless into the lives of those around us. The resurrection is an outrageous assault on our shrunken worldviews. It's a full frontal attack on our Good Friday outlook, when God dreams for us to have an Easter reality. If God raised Jesus from the dead, if the tomb was empty, if the angel said that he is not here, and if the disciples saw him alive once again, then surely God can roll away whatever seems immovable in your life. That means that no loss, no illness, no failure or terrible mistake will block your life forever. For God, the great alchemist, can turn the nothingness of death into a victory of eternal life. God's answer to whatever threatens, imperils, or ails us is to write nevertheless over our lives and to move the immovable stones that are blocking us from living the kind of life that God is calling us to lead. It's written on every page of the Bible and into each chapter of our lives when we invite Jesus into our lives. Easter reminds us that evil never has the final word. The worst things are never the final things. The best is yet to be. So watch, wait. In the half-light of the early morning this Easter day, Jesus is stirring, reminding us that no matter what dead ends we face, there is reason to hope, because life has changed, not ended. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia, alleluia, amen. Let us pray. O gracious God, you remind us this day that no matter what obstacle stands in our way, however heavy or large, you can roll that away and allow us to move forward into the life that you have called us to lead, as you write, nevertheless, over each chapter of our life, and transform our lives into an Easter reality. Amen.
You've been listening to the Reverend Dr. Merrick Zabriskie, rector of Christ Church Episcopal in Greenwich, Connecticut. For a free transcript of his sermon for Easter, God Says Nevertheless, call us at 404-815-9110. That's 404-815-9110. Or write to us at Day 1, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. And please keep in mind that Day One depends on the financial contributions of our faithful listeners. Send your donation to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305. And thank you.
You've been listening to an encore program from Easter 2021 with longtime Day One host and President Emeritus of the Alliance for Christian Media, the Reverend Peter Wallace and the Reverend Merrick P. Zabriskie. Day One is a production of the Alliance for Christian Media. The Reverend Dr. Katie Givens Keim is our Interim Executive Director and President. Ethel Ware Carter is our Administrative Assistant, and Lanier Quantz is our Accountant. I'm Donald Jones, Director of Production. On behalf of the entire team at Day One, we wish you God's blessings and thank you for listening.
The good news our Day One preachers share is transforming lives. please consider making a donation so we can continue to inspire you and countless others across America and around the world in the year ahead. Mail your gift to Day One, 2715 Peachtree Road, Atlanta, Georgia 30305, or call us at 404-815-9110, or give securely online at dayone.org. And thank you for your support. Now our Day One preacher, Merrick Zabriskie, offers some final reflections about his sermon this week, God Says Nevertheless. Merrick, this is the second Easter now that many churches have had to skip all or some of the wonderful celebratory hoopla, at least in person, for Easter because of COVID-19. Even so, we soldier on, you said, because this is the day we lift up Christianity's highest claim, its deepest truth, and its most profound mystery. That God broke through the glass ceiling of mortality and lifted up the hope of eternal life. Would you say more about how we can celebrate this deep truth in these difficult times, even if we are apart from our friends, families, because of the pandemic?
Certainly. You know, we need a message of hope at this time because we're still in the midst of the pandemic. This is going on way beyond what any of us anticipated. When we turned off the lights in our church and closed up, we thought we were closing our church for 2 or 3 weeks. And now we've been shut down as a country and as a world for over a year. Mm-hmm. So a message of hope is so needed. But fortunately, there's light at the end of the tunnel, and there always is. No matter what situation we're facing, God brings about resurrection. It is just built into the fabric of creation. Mm. And that's built into today, even though our churches are not full the way we'd like them to be, even though we can't all do what we'd like to do, God is bringing about resurrection, and we have much to be thankful for.
Merrick, you said the resurrection is an outrageous assault on our shrunken worldviews. That's powerful. God's answer to every fear that we have, to whatever ails us, threatens us, or imperils us, is nevertheless, the best is always yet to be. How do we experience that in our lives?
I think a lot of it is a mindset. If people feel like I'm doomed or I'm never going to get through this, that is the biggest challenge that we face. It's our own shutting down and kind of closing down the worldview and outlook that we can get through this. That's why we often need outside help. We need sermons that inspire us. We need counselors and ministers and coaches and mentors and friends and family who can say, there is more. Mm. And that helps to write in that great nevertheless equation, especially as we take time for prayer and reading scripture each day. Because God is constantly planting nevertheless seeds in our heart and in our soul and in our mind if we will just turn to the Lord and allow God to work through others to remind us that the best things are yet ahead.
Mm. Merrick Zabriskie, thank you for being with us and happy Easter.
Thank you, my friend. It is such a privilege to be with you, and especially on this day of days. God bless you. Have a wonderful Easter.
Day One is the voice of America's mainline Protestant churches. Visit us online at dayone.org. Our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones and produced by Peter Wallace. Thank you for joining us. I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings on Day One and forever.